When we are actually living the age that these days represent, we will have been through something to the order of 850 years of the kingdom of God. In Kentucky, think 950 years. And now we are about to experience a whole new age being ushered in. We will be in the latter stages of the millennium. 200 years or less until the second resurrection. Again, in Kentucky, please think 50 years or less. God the Father and Jesus Christ have been the master planners throughout all time. And they will have been preparing for this particular stupendous event which is about to unfold on the last great day for 7,000 years. This, I promise you, will not be a Whitehall fudge. Neither will the Senate nor Congress be involved, so the plans which have been laid will actually come to pass. For almost seven millennia, this ultimate event in the life of mankind has been central to the planning of God's kingdom. It is the final pivotal event of the existence of humanity physically. Some estimates have given us a figure of 80 billion human beings have lived on this planet since the time of Adam and Eve. Now, that figure may or may not be absolutely correct. So, you know, something around that figure, 80 billion. Now, that is a mind-boggling number, which, I say, may not be correct. So, can you imagine what would happen if these people were suddenly resurrected without food, without clothing, and without shelter? If this were to happen, we'd have chaos. We are preparing for the time of Ezekiel 37, folks. Here we are, and all the people suddenly begin standing up, wondering where they are and what they are doing. Many will be looking for swords, shields, muskets, artillery. Ask yourselves, how many people did not die in a battle scenario? Probably the vast majority died in war. In addition to food, clothing, and shelter, these newly resurrected people will need to be comforted and reassured. The Feast of Tabernacles and all that is pictured is drawing to an end. But another new age is about to dawn. And when this is a reality, we will have a monumental task ahead of us. Another great time for which we must prepare. This may be speculation, but whatever God does, we have to remember it has been planned to the nth degree. Now is the time to picture the time beyond the millennium. Ezekiel 37 is suddenly a very real, soon coming scenario. Presumably families will have to be reunited and former enemies kept apart, at least until the minds have been cleansed of all hatred and violence. The logistical problems that have to be faced involve the provision of food, clothing, and housing, all on a grand scale. If we turn now to Isaiah chapter 65 and read verses 17 to 22, we'll get a flavour of the time for which we will be preparing. Jerusalem and all the major cities will have been rebuilt, but not on the standards of yesteryear. The villages, towns and cities will have been built according to God's building regulations and his planning requirements. The great majority of people prior to the 20th century were basically from an agrarian upbringing and society. That society will be one of happiness in an age free from cares and worries. Families and strangers, young and old, living in a paradise. A paradise planned by the God family, And here in Isaiah 65, beginning in verse 17, we find these words. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered, nor come into remembrance. Sorry, it should be verse 19 I should be reading. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem. My joy and my people and the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall die accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. They shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of the tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labour in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the eternal, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. This is a picture of the time we shall have been preparing for. Cities and rural communities. 80 billion people are not going to be able to grow their own food at the drop of a hat. It will take beings with the abilities of our forefather Joseph to prepare the food stores needed for such a vast number. The phrase, as are the sands of the seas, comes to mind when picturing this huge population that Earth is going to have to accommodate. Over the past 8.5 centuries, the arable lands, orchards and vineyards have all produced abundant crops. Storehouses would have been prepared for the initial needs of the almost astronomical population of humanity. Until the first harvests come in, these newly resurrected people will need to be fed. In addition to the stores of food, we'll have to ensure that sufficient clothing, that is fabric and ready-made garments, will be available, so that everybody can be modestly and reasonably attired. No Mary Quant minis, I'm afraid. Then there will be the immediate need for housing. Some may prefer to live under canvas. Who knows? But when the time comes, we will know what is needed and what to provide. Everyone will be living in a paradise, in a land where everything is of top quality. No second or third rate jerry-built houses, but real top quality built homes and farmsteads. This is what we are going to be doing, certainly through the latter stages of the millennium, and maybe even earlier in the millennium. At this stage of the millennium, preparations will be in full swing for the soon coming major resurrection of the vast majority of mankind. The Apostle John recorded what he was told in the book of Revelation, chapter 20 and verses 4 to 6, that there is more than one resurrection. This shows that there is to be a first resurrection when those that have responded to God's call in a positive manner and have endured to the end will be resurrected or changed to spirit beings at Christ's return. Then there is the second mass resurrection of all the remainder of humanity to a physical life. And finally, the resurrection to eternal death. Here in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, beginning in verse 4, we find these words. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had they received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years was finished. So we're talking about the first resurrection and the second resurrection here. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Here is the time sequence of the resurrections. Jesus was the first to be resurrected to immortal spirit life. Then comes those who are converted, who are changed at, or resurrected at Christ's return, reigning with Jesus for the whole of the millennium. Then there follows the second resurrection. And it is for these people that we will have to prepare the necessities of life when they are raised to mortal life once again. In the Gospel record of John, in chapter 5, verses 28 to 29, it again refers to a major resurrection. We'll be overseeing the preparation of this world to accommodate all those who ever lived, who were not part of the first resurrection. Can you imagine such a huge world population? Forget the Georgia Guidestones, 500 million. This is what God has been planning for. This is his expanding family. When we consider the wonders of the universe, the vast number of the constellations, the fantastic number of stars, and God can name every single one of them. Naming 80 billion sons or daughters should present no problem to God the Father or elder brother. Just think of this tremendous opportunity to be part of that group, helping with this vast expansion of the family of God at that time. If we read now from the Gospel of John, beginning in chapter 5 and verse 28, we find these words. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they which have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation, or as it should be, judgment. By this time, in the world tomorrow, we will have been instrumental in overseeing the rebuilding of civilization. It will be the civilization of the children of God. But in 200 years' time, think 50 in Kentucky, we will be placing something like 80 billion people in homes or on farms, each with its own acreage for gardens and fields where they'll be growing for themselves. In a slight variation on the inimitable words of the late Sir Winston Churchill, this is not the end. This is not even the beginning of the end. But we could be excused for thinking that this has the appearance of leading to the end of the beginning.